this. What is the thing that really makes you feel alive? For some, it's something exhilarating. For others, it's something quiet. For some, it has to do with world-changing ideas. For others, it's something much closer to home. Whatever that thing is, as long as it's something good and uplifting instead of something greedy or harmful, it's worth pouring yourself into. Yes, this. What's something that holds you back? Maybe that's a harder question. Is it the same thing that is exhilarating, quiet, world-changing, or close to home? What holds you back from pouring yourself into what really makes you feel alive? In today's Bible reading, Jesus saw the mask the rich person wore, not the mask to protect one another that we wear during the pandemic. The falseness, the I do everything right, but I'm lacking one thing and I don't want anyone to see that mask. It's important that we don't conflate those two. You understand? We wear a mask during the pandemic to keep ourselves and other people safe. And it's not a mask that hides our trueness. It's a mask for safety, for health. We wear masks when we pretend to be one thing while we're something else. And when we do it to try to gain power over someone else, not that. Wear a mask to protect one another during this pandemic. Don't wear a mask to be false. Make sense? It's important not to conflate the two. If you see someone doing it, it's important to call it out. I mean, it really is. See, Jesus saw this rich person. The person followed the rules and probably did much good. Jesus saw that this person's wealth was holding them back. See, too much money holds some people back. Not enough money holds some people back. The endless pursuit of money holds people back. Running out of money holds people back. What's a person to do? Why does money complicate things so much? Why does it make things possible? Why does it hold things back? And what does it mean to look beyond it? Jesus told a rich person to sell everything and to follow him. The person couldn't do it. They were ready to give up their stuff. No, they weren't ready to give up their stuff. Really, who's willing to give up their stuff? You want to give up your stuff? Jesus said it was easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich person to enter God's realm, God's kingdom, God's neighborhood, God's shalom. And then I think the debate began. Camel through a needle's eye? Really? He can't mean that. It must be one of those things that means something else. Bible readers, Bible scholars have talked about it for years, more than years. Millennia. Some have come up with this explanation. The eye of the needle is the name for a small door where a person could enter the city after the large gate was closed. It was large enough to walk through, but a loaded camel could not make it through. I saw a Bible character actor carry this out further. They said that the only way a camel could make it through the eye of the needle would be if it got rid of all the baggage and then stooped down to its knees and virtually crawled through the door. It's a great visual. It is only if we are willing to strip off all the baggage we carry with us that we'll make it through. That makes sense. And that's the problem. It makes sense, and it's possible. When we just think further than we had before. Jesus, however, well, He was talking about something that was truly impossible. The disciples said, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it's impossible, but not for God. For God all things are possible." When Jesus talked about a camel through a needle's eye, I think he was talking about a camel and a needle. A sewing needle. Something totally impossible to do. But not impossible for God to do. Because God is the God of making the impossible possible. God will be what the future requires. And God is a God of generosity and unconditional grace. And God calls us to live as a people of generosity and unconditional grace. Ooh, that's hard. Both of them. God calls us to give as a people of generosity and unconditional grace. And God offers hope. God's response to our fears in this regard is, "You can do this. I'm with you." All right, we're entering stewardship season, the season where people start getting nervous because there's not enough. It's a season where sometimes we say, "It's time to step up to meet our obligations." It's the season where we announce that we'll receive estimates of giving cards and time and talent cards very soon. You can fill them out and return them online via the mail or be at church on Sunday, November 14th, Stewardship Sunday. It's the season, it's the season where we can really see that we are rooted in love. And we can contemplate how God has this wonderful, thriving plan for St. Paul's United Church of Christ. No pun, no nothing there. God has a wonderful, thriving plan for St. Paul's United Church of Christ. And here's the thing that's so important. We can be generous in our giving to the ministries of our church. We can live in generosity as we give of our time and our talent, however we do that. We can ask prayerfully and respond actively to the question, how are we rooted in love as we give our money and our resources? We can and we will, and we do live as a caring community of Christ, a people of prayer and action, a beacon of hope, justice, and peace. And God is here saying, "You can do this. I'm with you." Over the next several weeks, consider what it is that makes you feel alive. Consider what it is that holds you back. Let's all be willing and ask, how are we rooted in love? So let's live out love. Let's live out justice. Let's live out compassion. Let's live out generosity. Let's live out attending to one another. Because that is what we do. Amen.